If you're gonna keep fucking munching on shit, I'm gonna make noise too.
Yeah, no, maybe not.
Okay.
Wait, maybe so what was this about, face tattoos?
Maybe not make noise or
no,
not
face tattoos? I don't understand the whole point of face tattoos. I just don't get it. Like,
I don't know, dude. Face tattoos just, I agree, like, when done right, look cool.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Here's the thing. Maybe it's just me. Good like job, personally,
you guys got me, so.
Personally, I wouldn't get a face tattoo.
Fuckers.
But that's just me. I just don't see any point in it. Like, look, why would you want to fuck up this pretty face? That's all I'm saying.
Well, some people do.
Well,
like,
some people, yeah, some people don't have a pretty face. Maybe they're trying to make it better.
Like, I'd like to get something down here, like some script or something, or something above the eyebrow. Or
like, right,
I really want
your,
a hairline on the forehead.
Right
the
under
top.
Your lip, dude. You know what would look great right under your lip? Dick goes here.
No. No, it's not happening.
I could see that.
Or, okay, fine, place balls here.
But here's the thing. Here's the biggest issue I have with face tattoos. Once you get a face tattoo, your chances of getting a job drop drastically.
Oh, yeah.
My goal isn't to get a job.
The idea is, and I think those who get or have face tattoos should have a like career, a solid career where... it's not going to affect them, you know, i.e. a rapper or something in the entertainment industry.
You get more clout if you're a rapper with
I think,
a face
yeah,
tattoo.
I think the only, like in a band or, you know, obviously, like, not on, like, not an actor or on TV because that's, you know, you're going to have to do makeup every day.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I think the only job area where you can get a face tattoo and be okay is music. That's you know.
No, yeah, I mean, but in order for you to get a face tattoo and assume that you're going to get a job in the music industry, you'd have to be really, really lucky.
Wow, that was rude. You cut me off before I get on my soapbox. But
let me go get the soapbox.
Set it here. Okay.
I got it for you. All set up. Let me wipe it off for you.
Horrible timing for the soapbox.
There you go.
Seriously.
There's your soapbox.
Why did you do that?
He asked for it.
He was moving on past it. Now we just fucked up.
Well,
the
we're
whole
gonna come back to
episode.
It, but.
Yeah. You know he was going to eventually come back.
Yeah, but now we just totally fucked up that part where we all go, "Hey, what's up, guys? And welcome to this week's episode of
Matt's Not Here." Make sure you follow us on social media. Instagram is Matt's Not Here Podcast. Facebook is
Matt's Not Here.
And join the cult of
M-N-H.
I was secretly hoping like each one of us would say a letter, but that didn't work.
Same here.
Yeah,
nah, we're not that cool.
I mean, Matt and I are. We had the same idea, but
we're
you
not
fucked it up.
Look, we're not that coordinated. Let's be honest.
You're not that coordinated.
That's what I was thinking.
No, that's true. Four seasons in, and we still can't coordinate that shit.
No, fuck, dude. You know? Jesus.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
But yeah, face tattoos, it's like, I think it just depends. It depends on the person. It depends on what they get, where they get them. And as far as occupation goes, a lot of people that get them are either self-made or kind of work for themselves.
Yeah.
So as long as you're not trying to pull clientele that is going to not hire you because of your face tattoos, depending on what line of work you're in, and I think, you know, you're good. I feel like everybody should do them.
I don't know. Like but, how would you feel if you hired an independent contractor to maybe redo your kitchen? And, you know, you talk to him on the phone. He sounds super professional. You check out his website. He looks super professional. Everything is top-notch and pro. And then it's actually him who shows up. He's not sending out his employee. But the dude who shows up then has a face tattoo.
I mean, he could have a dick tattooed on his cheek. And I wouldn't care. As long as he has proof that he's able to do his job well. He's a contractor.
I think with us...
I don't care. I look at the work. That's what I want.
Yeah, I don't think we would mind. But I know there's some people in the world, the moment that guy shows up to the door, they're closing it and saying, go away.
Yeah.
Based on the tattoo alone.
That's how I feel about it.
He could be the best contractor in the world.
I don't care who you are. You have a face tattoo, you have a face tattoo. I'm not going to knock you for it. But I'm just saying, I personally would not get a face tattoo.
Yeah, no.
I just don't feel any need for it. I just don't get it. Like, I know a lot of people are into them and fucking everybody's becoming a face tattoo aficionado all of a sudden. They fucking love them. But I just don't see the appeal. I just don't get it.
I mean, I think it's like what Matt was saying. When they're done right, they can highlight certain aspects.
Yeah.
And I think they look cool, but Yeah.
Or hide things. Like, for example, if you've got like a stigmatism or like, you know, something on your face is uneven and you put a tattoo in a specific spot, it detracts away from that and you don't see that as much.
That and you know, I'm kind of glad you brought up like stigmatism or the stigmatism, although I don't think that's the right thing. I think stigmatism.
No, stigmatism would have to do with your eyes.
Yeah, when you can't see, right?
Well, the thing is, a lot of people with
that's why you wear glasses.
Uneven.
Okay. Well, I don't know why. When you said that, for some reason, I was thinking of vitiligo. But there's a technique with tattooing where they actually match the skin tone with the tattoo ink and tattoo over where the affected area is, and I that's not a tattoo at that point. I feel like that's even though it is happening with a tattoo machine and ink, to me that's a little more towards cosmetic surgery.
Well, yeah, it's just like tattooing eyebrows or something. Like, my grandma doesn't really have much for eyebrows. She has to draw them on, and she makes them look natural, but she hates tattoos. She can't stand them, and she's even contemplated getting eyebrow tattoos done just because.
And like I'm permanent glad tattoos. You brought that up, because my mom actually did that. She got her eyebrows tattooed. I know it's a cosmetic thing, and when I got my first tattoo, she gave me shit for it, and I'm like, what are you giving me shit for it? You have a tattoo. She's like, no, I don't.
Face tattoos.
Like, right? You have a face tattoo. Yeah. And then she had to, like, sit back for a minute and just be like, you know what? You're right. But it's still, mine's cosmetic. Like, how does that make it any better? It
looks quote-unquote normal.
It looks quote-unquote normal. Exactly.
She was born with eyebrows. You weren't born with your first tattoo.
True. But my first tattoo was done in a place where I can hide it.
Fair enough.
It was done right here. This is my first tattoo.
Oh my god. Everyone, he just showed us his butthole.
Everyone, he's pointing at a giant dick he got tattooed on his butthole.
Boy. Don't ask for pictures.
You can ask for pictures. We're just not gonna give them to you.
Yeah, no. Not happening, sorry.
But if you push us to our Patreon, right?
We're not doing that.
You'll get to see one of his stubby fingers that he chomped off at work and his butthole.
Geez. No snap.
That was a throwback to season one, right?
That was definitely season one. I think season one, episode 3 or something.
Holy
like that.
Shit.
Yeah.
Look at the fucking the historian over here. I almost called you a thesaurus, but I was like, that's the wrong thing. I would like borderline. I almost said, look at the thesaurus over here. And I was like, nope, don't
say
that.
Historian.
I only remember that because it's the episode focused on me. So like.
Oh, that's right. We did that. I forgot we did that. Yeah.
I thought you were the Leo.
Right? Nah. He's
no,
ego.
No, actually, I might be like
I'm a Leo.
Episode 4, I think. It might be.
I don't know.
Now he's second guessing himself.
Whatever.
Might even be episode 5. I don't know. Who knows? Look,
who
it's
knows?
In season 1. That's
it
all
is.
I know.
Don't worry about season 1, everyone.
That was so totally last year, beginning of the first. Yeah. Yeah. Beginning of the year. It was beginning of the year.
Last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And now we're midway through 2021.
Oh, we should
Holy
probably
shit.
Talk about the fact that this is the last episode for the season, and we extremely apologize for
it
not putting
late.
Out an episode.
Yeah, sorry about that. We kind of dropped the ball there.
We fucked up.
Yeah, a
that's
little bit.
Pretty
just
much what it comes
scheduling
down
scheduling conflicts.
Yeah, we all fucked up at the same time. It was nice.
But you have to admit, we've been pretty good about scheduling. We do this every Wednesday.
Hey, yeah.
And record. We all have to meet up, so.
We do this for you guys.
Yeah.
I waste my gas for you guys.
You call that a waste?
Oh, well, I use my gas for you guys.
I use.
Wait. If we put this, could you use the gas as a tax write-off?
I mean, if we
mileage?
Actually made money on this, yes.
We do.
Well,
you could technically consider. I mean, I would put that on my taxes.
Define
shit.
Money.
Right. No. Yeah. First of all, I would put that on my tax write-offs for sure. But also, define making money. We've made per episode.
We have money made from this podcast, but it's not enough to say we've made money on
this
podcast.
We can buy a dinner to share.
Yeah.
At a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
No, at a restaurant.
I said nice restaurant.
No, yeah,
dinner
no,
to share.
No, not at a nice restaurant, at a restaurant.
Just a restaurant.
Not a nice restaurant.
Like,
if you want to tip the person, a restaurant. If you don't want to tip the person, a nice restaurant.
Yeah, like we could all go get sushi right now. It'd be all right.
We wouldn't tip the waiter, though.
No, for sure, no. Not happening.
That's where we're at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we do this for the love.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
for sure. Yeah.
I mean, if you guys want to see us tip a waiter, make sure you guys keep listening and recommend this podcast to others.
Right.
If you guys are enjoying it.
So the thing is, I want to make the kind of money on this that like fucking dumbass internet people made fucking fake boxing.
Oh god.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah. Go ahead. I knew it was gonna happen.
I didn't watch it at all.
Neither did I.
I watched like the highlights.
I wasn't about to waste my money on that.
No, I'm not spending money on that. Fuck that. No. I'll wait for someone to rip it.
Oh, then, I went and watched like the stuff. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I went and watched the highlights like hours after it was over. Yeah. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
I started watching the memes. That was enough for me.
Yep.
Okay. Now, did the one, while you said meme, while we're on the topic, sorry. Right.
No, no, that's fine. I think you're about to talk about what I wanted to.
The one with his brother in the audience.
No, you're not.
Did you guys see the clip where he's like selfieing and recording? He's like, oh my God, you win. And he's saying it in a voice like that. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Huh?
I'm like confused. Did somebody voice over this and put this on TikTok, or is this like actually Jake Paul?
He's putting on
doing
a weird voice, or was it actually his voice and nobody realizes his voice?
It was
really
flamboyant
stupid
as hell.
Wow. I'm gonna have to find
that.
Like, one.
I was confused. I don't know.
Wait, is it on his TikTok? Because I could probably pull that up right now. By the way, make sure you guys check out our TikTok.
Oh yeah,
Matt's Not Here Podcast.
Yeah, it's.
It's still there.
It exists.
It exists. Exactly. There you go.
We'll make videos eventually.
Yeah. Sometimes,
you know,
maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe
you
on our
get
off.
Something, you get something when we remember
look,
we have it.
We're going to be off for, what, about a month? Yeah. It'll give us some time to come up with some ideas, right?
We got to plan.
Maybe.
We got to plan out the next season.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So I didn't watch the whole fight. I did watch one clip where it looks like Mayweather knocks him out and, like, catches him and kind of holds him up a little bit.
I saw that clip.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, and like, as a boxer, you shouldn't do that. But as a guy who's about to make fucking $50 million for the fight alone and then a percentage of the fee or the ticket in the pay-per-view, whatever it was.
The concessions, I think.
Yeah, the percentage of the money made. Good move. Hold on.
And Mayweather even said in the beginning, he was like, I do this to put on a show for the people and like, you know, he's not taking it like, you know, like Mike Tyson, like the motherfucker went in there to kill people.
Yeah.
Like he was like basically like
he's
kill
like,
mode.
I'm here to fight.
Mayweather's not like that.
Dude, he even said it in one of his like post fight interviews. I don't know if it was that one or not, but he was like, you know, he mentioned something about boxing, but then he goes, but you know what? Like, I may not be the best boxer I used to be, but my bank account keeps growing. My paper's right. My kids are taken care of. And I was like, oh shit. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's a bit of a douchebag. But
and
I was
he still
like,
can't read.
Right. But like, I heard about, I saw that and I was like.
He's a good hugger.
Oh, right? Yeah. Excellent hugger. I bet he gives the greatest hugs.
After he hits you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw that and was like, I get it.
That sounds like domestic violence to me, but all right.
He doesn't give a fuck about anything but money.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing he cares about.
Well, those people made a minimum of 50 mil each.
Yikes.
Minimum.
Yikes.
I heard. The other
imagine
dude.
The taxes on that.
The winner's going to make a lot more.
Well, yeah, Mayweather made more than, who was it, Jake Paul?
It was Logan Paul.
Logan Paul, whatever, yeah. Douchebag Paul.
Mm-hmm. One of the Pauls.
He made so much more than Douchebag Paul did. Like, the pay difference?
Oh, yeah.
It was like, I think, five times more.
But you got to realize, Logan Paul went into this, and he was cocky as fuck, and like, playing fun at Mayweather. And you know when they take the photos when they face each other?
Right.
Like Mayweather was dogging the fuck out of him, and he's like a lot shorter, and he's just looking up into his eyes, like, "Come on, motherfucker!" And then Logan's over here, like he's whispering stuff and saying stuff, and then he gets Mayweather to kind of crack a smile and kind of start like almost laughing a little bit. And you know, they each do their speech where they talk, and Logan's whole thing right before the fight, and or you know, I don't know if this was right before the fight or if it was the night before, how they do the photos and stuff.
Right.
But he was like, "Oh, aliens are coming in June. This is a simulation."
What
and he's
the fuck?
Going off on this whole thing. And I'm like,
jeez.
Okay, that's kind of awesome. But like, this guy's a douchebag. But I also got to give him props because this is his second fight. And he's fighting the champion.
Fight in quotes, by the way.
Like, official.
Like who wrote his
it was
speech,
an exhibition,
though?
Oh, it wasn't a fight. It was an exhibition.
Gotta make, you know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I get it. But fight in quotes.
Like an actual competitive, like.
Right. But it was.
On stage.
But the win or loss doesn't go towards his record.
No, but
so fight in quotes because it was
but
an
like
exhibition.
He was training and doing
oh
all
yeah
that.
No, he took it serious. I'll give him props for that, but take a real fight.
He blew the steam though in that first round. I saw the clip from that, and he's just swinging left and right like crazy, just piling, landing.
He went for it. He fucking went
but
for
I looked
it.
At the statistics after. Mayweather pretty much hit him twice as much and threw half the punches he threw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, damn, like, that shows just the skill
I mean,
level.
He was just swinging for the fences, and Mayweather was like, oh, there's a punch.
I would.
Oh,
I'd be swinging for the fences, too, if I was fighting that guy. Right? Shit, what else could you do? You just hope you land a good one and knock him out, right?
Yeah, one's a professional, the other one's Logan Paul.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy how we pitch all this money to this kind of shit.
I know.
It's fucking ridiculous, but.
Stupid how much money went to that.
Yeah. In this day and age, we're still paying to see two people fight each other.
Yeah, right? Like, last fight I paid for was the Pacquiao Mayweather one, and I will never pay for another boxing match after that, especially with Mayweather.
I didn't pay for that one. I did not pay for that one, but I did go to my friend's house to watch it, and I was severely disappointed.
Yeah.
I was drunk, but I was severely disappointed.
Well, we did a gathering where we all pitched money to pay for it and the food and everything, so it was kind of like everybody pays.
That was my contribution. My contribution was the alcohol, but still, it's like afterwards, I'm like, oh, I'm just so glad I bought this.
I just refused to pay for
that
boxing.
That fucking fight was ridiculous.
I wouldn't.
I'll do some pay-per-view for MMA, you know, UFC and all that. But the last boxing match I paid to see was fucking years ago. I forget who it was even. I can't even remember who it was. Fucking like over 10 years ago. I wish I could tell you who it was, because it would help the story. But it was such a fucking boring situation. It was like, all right, cool. I'm never doing that again. I'll pay for UFC though. That shit's fucking fun. Because then you get more than one. I mean, you get more than one in boxing too. But
even UFC's getting kind of fucked.
Dude, it is.
Man. Turning into boxing.
With kicking and ground and pound and
I'm saying the way joking. It's ran and like the money involved and like
once
totally affecting the fights.
Once too much money gets involved in stuff, it fucks it up. Compare the old school UFC when people were wearing whatever the fuck they wanted to wear in the fucking ring or octagon to UFC now. Oh my god.
Well, not
the
just,
old school guys would I think the old school guys would destroy the new school guys.
Yeah, well it's kind of like football. It's more entertaining to watch like a college game than it is to watch an NFL game most of the time.
Yeah,
and it's
hungry.
Just like the new guys, you know, there's less bullshit going on in terms of money being involved and stuff like that. Like you said, they're really hungry. So, you know, they're fighting it with everything they got. And it's I'd rather pay to watch that than
I mean, think about it. Like when you're starting out, you're not making a whole lot. So you got to make a name for yourself. So you're going for it. You're showing that you can fucking fight, that you can do this. And then let's say, you know, you become a, you know, Conor McGregor, for instance. You make
that guy is cocky.
You make millions.
That guy is
right?
a cocky motherfucker.
Right. Well,
I would have paid to watch him fight Logan Paul.
Hell yeah. But like, let's say you get to that. Let's say you get to that point. You know,
I'm gonna fuck him up,
mate. But yeah, like once they get to that level, you know, they're making millions per fight, regardless of the win or loss. You know, they're gonna be a little less entertaining because they're like, fuck it, I'm making a payday.
Right.
You know, I made the moment they stepped through that ring, they made millions, and it's like, all right, cool, my rent's taken care of, or my bills are taking rent if they're renting at that point.
Rent? Come on.
My bad.
He just bought another mansion.
Right. Yeah. Third one.
Third. He hasn't had a third since a while ago.
Yeah.
He's probably on his like sixth or seventh by now.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Jesus. I wouldn't doubt it. So, to change the subject a little bit away from fights, Matt, without getting too high on that soapbox, June 1st, we were supposed to get declassified proof or alien existence. What happened to that? Because I didn't hear shit.
I mean, I haven't looked for it, but they said that they were going to release them a long time ago, too, and they never did. So I know they gave us a little bit of info. But to be honest, everything that they're going to give us is a lot of it's stuff we can already find. To be honest, they're just making it a little more publicized with media and stuff like that, because a lot of the stuff they're going to give us is stuff that's probably ready to be declassified. And it's kind of like NASA, how NASA's a front, where it just kind of drip feeds stuff to the public. Like, we just discovered this, when really we discovered it like 50 years ago, but they didn't want to come out about that yet. So
it's more or less like they're coming out and going, yeah, yeah.
But
well,
I think it's
aliens
also...
aliens do exist.
Yeah, I think it's conditioning. I think it's conditioning, too. Okay. Or maybe if Logan's right, and aliens do invade this month, and it doesn't mean a real invasion. It could mean a false flag, Project Bluebeam, where they do projections and shit. And then they're like, oh, now we're going to declass. Aliens are real. You just saw them. The cat's out of the bag. Here's all the info. I don't know.
Hey, I just got a notification. It says here, Tom DeLonge wants to know your location.
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, you and him can have...
I'll shoot the shit with Tom DeLonge any day of the week.
Jeez.
Especially about aliens.
Yeah.
I've heard that guy talk about aliens.
Tom DeLonge. He comes on Coast to Coast.
Really
believes it. Well, he's an avid... He's at the forefront of ufology in the study.
Yeah.
He's like one of the top people.
Where do you go to school for ufology?
You don't.
Doesn't he have his own academy for that now?
They might. I don't know.
Yeah, he has an academy for that, for ufology now.
Wow.
He founded the, I forget what it's called. I think it's like To the Stars or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I think I heard them talk about that briefly on Coast to Coast.
That's kind of cool.
So it's interesting. And he's working with NASA and shit.
Wow.
Yeah. So should we get into the episode now?
We should get into this. Sure. Ad break.
Oh, shit. Oh, that zombie's choking on something. This can happen to you, and the zombie will kill itself when you're wearing your zombie killer clothing. With their new shoes, matching camouflage tank top, California hat to match, you just stand there, look pretty with your zombie killer clothing outfit, and the zombie dies in front of you without you wasting a bullet.
Let me just end this one real quick.
There you go.
He was already dead.
Yeah,
he just likes playing with his machete. He just got it. We raided the Walmart a minute ago.
Yeah.
And if you guys weren't aware, that was Zombie Killer Clothing.
Matt's Not Here's favorite sponsor. You can follow them on Facebook at Confessions of a Zombie Killer. Yeah, Confessions of a Zombie Killer.
Yes, you can find them on Instagram at
Zombie Killer Clothing.
All of their links are within those bios there.
Yep, you can find them in our show notes.
And just message him. If you follow him on Instagram, send him a message and say, hey, Matt's Not Here sent us.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, that's cool.
He'll be like, right on.
Send him a message, say Matt's Not Here, like, you know, thanks. Sent us, and let him know that you're going to buy some shoes for us.
Yeah, for us. I'm a size, I think, 9. No, I'm not a 9. Wow, I'm a, like, 10 or 11. I don't know if I forgot my shoe size. Whatever. Don't buy me shoes. I clearly don't know what I'm wearing. Buy them 2 shoes.
9.5 for me.
11.5 for 12.
And then I'll just, you know, be jealous because I was stupid and can't remember my shoe size.
Let's just say 10.
Sure, yeah, 10.
Fuck it.
Yet if they don't fit, you can just sell them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. So let's go ahead and dive into this, shall we?
Well, before we get into it, I have an idea of who's going to start.
Okay.
I have a coin.
Okay.
Coins. Yes, on here one side. Go. No on the other. Who's feeling a little more lucky? Who wants to call it?
I don't know if I want some head or some tail.
Okay, you ready?
Wait. Sorry.
Ha. All right, call it in the air.
Tails.
Heads.
Lewis gets head.
Hey!
Oh, congratulations.
Lewis. I mean, Matt, finally you lost. Won. You got to give it, so.
What?
Hey.
That wasn't in the rule. No.
Lewis is getting lucky today.
Wait. There you go.
Yeah.
Get it, son.
No, not happening.
No.
It's a hard limit.
Holy crap. That just hit the table?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we got to clean the table. Thanks.
I mean, he offered.
He did.
Do you think that this table can bear loads this heavy?
Ha! I mean, if you bust it, right?
You're supposed to bust the load, not the table.
Just like us to fuck it up right out the gate. Anyway, you won the coin toss.
I did. What do I win?
You get to start the episode about luck that started 20 and a half minutes ago.
Oh, luck. I know nothing about it, though.
Well, I mean,
the only thing I know about luck is what I can tell you. Luck is the phenomenon and belief that defines the experience of notably positive, negative, or improbable events. The naturalistic interpretation is the positive and negative events may happen all the time, both due to random and non-random natural and artificial processes, and that even improbable events can happen by random chance. In this view, the epithet lucky or unlucky is a descriptive label that refers to an event's positivity, negativity, or improbability. And why the fuck are you guys looking at me like that?
Wow, you said that all off the top of your head perfectly.
Yeah, thank you.
Didn't even read any of that.
They should make you president. You don't need a teleprompter.
No, show notes. Show notes. I'm not going to lie. It was show notes.
You took notes?
I'm not going to remember all that shit. Are you kidding me?
I didn't take notes. I watched a video.
Yeah.
I watched a show.
So what does luck mean to me, honestly?
Yeah, what's it mean to you?
Luck to me is, okay, you make your own luck, in my in my perspective.
I believe the same thing.
You make your own luck. Luck is what you make it. Now, whether you choose to take risks in life to make that luck better or worse, that's up to you. I feel like I'm not a very lucky person most of the time. If you were to hand me a scratcher right now, I'd probably end up owing money. It's that bad.
Imagine if they did that.
Right? I'd scratch it, be like, oh, well, it's $5.
You got to go pay an extra $2 or whatever.
Damn it. No, I think the most I've ever won is like $5. I was like, all right, cool. I finally won one. Yeah. Cool. So I'm unlucky in that aspect. I've been lucky in other aspects. I'm a father.
That sounds pretty lucky. Whoa.
I mean, it's lucky to me.
He got lucky. And then got lucky again. Lucky as a byproduct from getting lucky.
Well, no, because I always wanted to just be a father of two kids, one boy, one girl. And look, it happened. One boy, one girl.
Nailed it with that.
Was that luck or was that manifestation?
I don't know if it was manifestation, but call it what you want.
Well, that's kind of what I'm going to touch on with a little bit with luck. But
so I got a little lucky there. I've had other instances where I'll lose something and I'll be like, oh, fuck, man. Like, where the hell is it? And I'll be lucky enough to just remember it. I'll go back, retrace my steps, and I'll find it still there.
That's right. I put it in my lucky pair of underwear.
Yeah. No. So I don't know if you can call that luck.
I feel like that part, I don't know if you can call luck. That's a method for finding shit.
Because not necessarily. No.
I'm so lucky my brain worked this time.
That I always...
Right. Like I don't... and I'm not knocking what you're saying, but for that last part, oh, shit, I lost something. Let me retrace my steps. That's just a method of remembering.
It's not so much retracing my steps. It's so much as I go, fuck, where was the last place I had it? I don't retrace my steps. I just go back to the very last place I remember having it.
That is...
And it's still there. Well,
that is retracing your steps.
I'm talking jewelry.
Right, and I'm not talking taking the exact steps back. Thinking, oh, shit, I was at this place, then this place, then this place, and going that backwards, that's retracing your steps.
So that would be my extent of my luck.
Well, this is a great episode.
I think lucky is, when you're walking down the street and you look down and see a $20 bill, like, oh, shit, sweet, and you grab it.
That's happened to me.
That's lucky. Yeah. That's happened to me actually a couple times. No,
I'm just kidding.
It wasn't owned by anybody. I found a 20. I felt really lucky. I found, we don't own any of our money.
It was like a $5 bill. Yeah.
No, I found a 20 outside of McDonald's and did not buy any McDonald's with it. I was leaving. I was like, I'm fucking leaving this place.
Right on.
No, I think...
I'm going to Burger King. Fuck
right,
this.
Right? I think lucky is opportunity meeting preparation.
Okay.
You know, like if you're ready to do something and the opportunity comes to do it, you can do it.
Like at the right time, at the right opportunity.
And it might not even be the right time, but it might be the right opportunity. Take it, you know? I feel like luck is what you make it. You know what I mean? Like, if you think you're unlucky, you will be unlucky. If you think you are lucky...
Which goes right into manifestation.
You are lucky, yeah. I watched for this episode, I watched a video by a British mentalist named Darren Brown, where he... The full blown straight up synopsis of this is in the final experiment he did a series of shows called The Experiments where he did literal experiments on psychological experiments on people
right.
Not in a bad way, but that's the way you have to figure. You can't let somebody know you're performing a psychological experiment on them or it doesn't work.
It's like a placebo.
So the final experiment, he spreads a rumor about a lucky dog statue throughout a town and documents the consequences. He went to this little town in the UK. I forget the exact name. In Yorkshire. This town in Yorkshire had this statue of a dog that had passed away, and it was a well-known dog, so they gave it a dog statue as a headstone. He sent in a reporter, right? So it's not him, because everybody in the UK knows Darren Brown's a mentalist and knows he's up to something if he's walking around, right? He sends in a reporter, who's posing as working for the XYZ newspaper, and goes, have you heard about the lucky dog? Not saying this dog is lucky, but have you heard about it? Have you heard about it? Have you heard about it? And they gave them 3 months to just allow the rumor to spread itself. And the rumor was that if you pat this lucky dog's head, you will take in some of that luck. And they did that and then just stepped back and allowed the town to do the work and to see what happens. And one of the most fascinating things for me is they're interviewing people about it. Have you heard about the Lucky Dog? And, you know, now that it's spread, they have a camera crew and the news ladies with a camera. And some people are like, yeah, you know, I heard. No, I didn't hear about it. Yeah, I did hear about it. No, I didn't hear about it. And we know where it started because the girl started it. Mm-hmm. But this guy comes up and goes, yeah, my grandma told me about it. I don't know how long ago.
Because that is full of shit.
Not necessarily, because you'll misremember things to justify them in your own head.
Right.
The human mind is the human mind will misremember things to justify certain aspects of life.
Yeah.
It's just like a coping way it mechanism. Works. Yeah, it's like, just the way it works.
That's an episode for another day.
It totally is.
Yeah.
And so they let this spread, right? And he starts to go and kind of poke and prod and tweak things to see what happens. And there was a gentleman there who felt very unlucky. The news reporter went in and asked him, you know, she was going around asking random people, do you feel like you're a lucky person? This guy said, no, I'm an unlucky person. He wholeheartedly believed he was unlucky. So they wanted to test this theory. So they put a lady, quote unquote, taking surveys in the town. And can I stop you and ask you three questions, right? He was a butcher. He owned the butcher shop in town. The three questions were, can you name three cuts of beef?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make ground? It was something that was tailored for him.
Right.
If you answer these three questions, regardless of whether or not you're right or wrong, she gives you $20. He's walking past her. She goes to stop him. And he goes, no, 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 I'm busy. I'll come back in 5 minutes, and then never comes back. Right? Because he's so set on, oh, I got to do this. I got to finish this. So they're like, okay, well, let's try this. We know his route that he walks. He walks from his house to his butcher shop every morning. We know the route. Let's put a $20 bill in his route.
Mm-hmm.
In his route. If your eyes are open, you can see it.
Right.
He walks right past the $20 bill. So they're like, what the fuck?
Or he goes to pick it up, gets hit by a bus.
Fuck. That'd be fucked up, right? And then they're like, you know what? Let's just go all out and let's get a big fucking truck. Right? That drives around this town. This guy's name was Wayne. It said, Wayne, call this number. Right?
Right.
At this point, they're like, fuck it. Hey, dude, we're trying. He's doing the interview for the quote-unquote news station, and the truck drives past him, and he turns around and he's like, did you guys see that? Oh, whatever, he keeps doing the interview. He's walking around town, and they're, you know, cameras around him, drives past him again, and he's like, what the hell's going on here? Still doesn't call it. The truck passed him like four times before he fucking called the number.
And at that point, I think I would too.
Right. I'd have called it on the first pass.
First pass, I would have been like, maybe it's for a different.
Maybe the second. Right
on the second.
Maybe on the second pass. Anyway, he believed he was unlucky, and because of that, he was blind to all of these opportunities that were presented to him. Literally put in his path, money put in his path, a survey about cuts of meat put in his path. Literally right in his path where he was walking, and he didn't see him because he believed he was unlucky. This is why I, you know, think luck is what you make it. If you think you're a lucky person, you will see these opportunities coming. If you think you're not a lucky person, you're not going to see them because you don't think they're coming.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite phrases is you create your own reality. So you can make whatever you want to have, manifestate it, and do whatever, you know, like.
So it has to do with whether you're an optimist or a pessimist.
Manifestate.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to think I'm an optimistic pessimist.
Okay. You're pessimistically optimistic.
There you go, that one. Yeah.
Right on. I got nothing for that, I'm sorry.
There's no follow-up to that. It's rhetorical.
Next segment about how they made luck, and it was fascinating. And now that I just brought it up, I guess I should talk about it.
Go for it. Talk about it. So,
because of this lucky dog, right?
That's what we're here for, right?
That's what we're here
for. They were patting it, and the, again, news lady working as the shill for Darren said, those of you who feel lucky, let's go to a carnival. Before we go, I think it was like 8 or 10 people they brought. Before we go, let's all rub this lucky dog and go to the carnival and then see how we do. They did, statistically, they performed better than they would have had the lucky dog not been rubbed, because and nobody really knows why. Is it because they just happened to be lucky that day, or is it because they were in a good mood and that radiated through and they believed they were lucky, therefore they became lucky? And almost every person who went walked off with like a big Carnival Fair prize. We've all been to the Carnival and Fair where you play those games where they're damn near impossible to win. But they walked into the situation being lucky, feeling lucky, and walked out with more prizes than most people did probably that day.
So it goes back to what Matt stated, where it's a placebo effect.
Yeah. And, you know, you're making it happen.
Right.
You're creating your own reality. And then the people who go to Vegas, I feel really lucky, and then they lose their ass. It's like there is something down in the subconscious where they're, like, second-guessing themselves or some it could be a little bit of resistance, but that's enough to...
Oh, Vegas is rigged, too. Let's be honest.
Yeah, the house always wins.
Yeah.
That's why you play the slots by the doors. They're more likely to hit because they want to keep people coming in.
Mm.
It's still extremely low odds.
And that's also why
I'm not a gambler, so I wouldn't.
You're supposed to sit by the slots, and when you see the lady coming around with the drinks, that's when you put a dollar in and pull it. And then she comes by and you get your free drink, and then you take your money out and wait for her to come around again. Only gamble when the waitresses are around. That way they think you're gambling and they give you free drinks.
Mm.
If they see you not gambling, they won't come near you.
Ah, good to know. Good to know.
Hmm.
That's true.
This has been How to Get Free Drinks in Vegas by Brett.
So normally we do shitty advice of the week, but that was some good advice
yeah.
for anybody who drinks alcohol. So
those drinks are watered down, though.
That's super why you get beer.
Watered down. Oh.
Yeah, order a beer.
They're free.
They're free. And
just
tipper,
keep them coming.
And if you're getting cocktails, your first cocktail is going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed, right? But tip the waitress fat. Your next cocktail is going to be a real one. Tip her bigger again. Your next cocktail is going to be a better cocktail. And then after two or three of those, you're good.
Yeah, because you're just going to keep tipping her more and more, and she's just going to keep bringing you stronger ones purposefully. Right.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, you end up spending about $20, which is less than what you spend at a bar, and you get, sufficient.
Well, it's in their best interest, too. Exactly. They want to keep you sauced so that you can keep spending and spending and spending. No clocks, no windows.
Yeah.
I go to this thing and they sell drinks for $20.
What the fuck?
And
that's an unlucky place
to go. Plastic cup.
No, I usually get those giant ones, like the fucking...
Big gulp status?
No, the fucking outrageous size ones, yeah.
Well, in Vegas, yeah.
Yeah. I got one from the Circus once. Yeah. It was a guitar.
They have those? That's cool. Because I see the tall, skinny ones with the giant straw and...
They filled that thing
with, like,
up
the bowl
good.
At the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought they were going to put, like, a couple shots. No, they empty, like, half a fucking bottle in
God
there.
God damn.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever, like, been to those oxygen bars in, like, D.C. around?
I've seen them. I haven't personally used them.
I
almost used one at Six Flags.
Like, I want
to... I've seen them everywhere, but I'm like, why am I going to pay to breathe?
Yeah, well, they have different colors and flavors and shit, apparently.
Oh, I'm
going to
breathe blue.
What? I love the taste of red.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's the best crayon.
But they had a little stand at Six Flags with oxygen bar where you can walk up and...
Right.
Yeah.
It's supposed to revitalize you and make
my
you
question
feel
is like,
less drunk, I guess.
Do you go on Goliath and you're like, I need some air?
Yeah.
Like, I hope they're changing those little fucking nose things every time.
Right.
I really hope. I'm not about to put someone's nose thing in my nose.
I think they're disposable.
I fucking hope so.
Yeah. They're probably disposable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean...
You'd be like, imagine being that unlucky where you walk up and you put the thing on your head and you get like a fucking booger on it or some shit.
Oh.
Or like some like nose disease.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Like,
my sinuses are already fucked up as it is. I don't need them to get really fucked up.
Fucking, like, acquire someone's allergies or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have any, you use an oxygen bar, and all of a sudden you got fucking allergies for us.
You have, like, nose aids and shit.
Right? What do you got? What are you sniffing for, man? I got nose HIV.
I've got the clap in my nose.
I got nose gonorrhea.
I got the nose herp.
Nose herp.
I've got nose crabs.
Oh,
I think one crawled up to my brain, but we're good.
Nothing a little alcohol won't solve.
I'm just going to sniff some vodka and hopefully kill this nose crab.
The good old sniffing the vodka trick, eh?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, man. So that's luck. I mean, luck is basically, like he said, what you make of it and whatnot. I mean, because this is a great episode. What is luck? Because Lewis is over here, like, retracing his steps, thinking it's luck. And then other people think luck is something else. And it's like falls right into Brett's hand of what he had mentioned. It's like what each individual person makes of it, kind
what
of.
You make
I'm,
it.
I'm saying for me, it's
and
lucky.
I don't believe in it.
It's lucky that I'm able to retrace my steps and find that item, especially if it's an item or like something like jewelry.
Right.
I've lost jewelry before, and I'm like, fuck. where did I last have it? And I retrace my steps, and it's still there, sitting in the same exact spot where I left it.
Right.
I'm like, yeah. That's lucky.
You're like, Sharon.
Me, that's lucky.
Yeah.
Sharon, like, where's my goddamn ring?
On your hand, Ozzy. Like, it didn't get picked up and moved and by somebody. Right. Yeah, you know.
I think my wallet, I've left my wallet before. I'm like, fuck. And I go back and it's still there.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've done that in like public places, which is frightening, where like wallet falls out. And then I get to the car and, you know, do the pocket check. And I'm like, oh, shit. Run back and damn lucky. And it's sitting on the, you know, the chair that I was sitting in, or it's underneath it or some shit. That's when I'm like, fuck, I feel so fucking lucky right now. Cause man, somebody walking by could be like, oh, a wallet. They're not going to get anything, but, you know, they'll have my wallet.
There's only one time that's happened with my wallet. And I realized it halfway through the night at this little class thing I was going to. And I told him, you know, check around and see if you found my wallet, because I don't feel it in my pocket. And, you know, I can feel it when I sit down, and it wasn't there. And I'm like,
roughly how long had you been missing it at that point?
I didn't know.
Ooh, that's frightening. That's even worse. Yeah.
So I was like, I think I left it at home. Not a big deal, right? It's the one night I go through a checkpoint. And it's not a DUI checkpoint. I thought it was. And I'm like, oh, I'm whatever. I don't care, you know? And there was supposed to be a turnout, because legally in our area, you have to have a turnout before the DUI checkpoint.
Yep.
Or it's a legal checkpoint.
So you can bail out and they can follow you and question you, because that's really suspicious.
Exactly. And they, well, we're not going to get into the semantics of that, because that's illegal too.
I'm going to step off my soapbox real quick.
Yeah.
My bad. I didn't even realize I was on it.
I can go on forever.
Oh, you and I could go on forever.
I've done that and I never got pulled over. So. Yeah.
But
I got a fun checkpoint.
I get up and it has the sign and it says, it doesn't say DUI checkpoint. It says driver's license checkpoint.
Oh, that's
I'm like,
great.
Wonderful.
Great.
Wonderful. Good thing I have my driver's license number memorized.
Me
so
too.
I could just tell them. And he's like, it checked back good.
Is that a number we're supposed to remember? I don't.
Not necessary, but
it helps when you're filling
you
shit out.
Yeah.
Like,
all right, I guess I'll work on that.
There have been instances where, though, if you get pulled over and you don't have it on you, you give them your information and they can pull it up.
Right on.
They could still give you a ticket if they wanted to, but most cases they don't.
Yeah.
Because the information checks out.
Right, yeah.
But I memorize it, just filling shit out.
Fair enough. So, you were going through
the
checkpoint?
So my license number is...
Oh, I ended up fine.
Huh. So...
One of the cops is a bitch, but other than that, that was fine. They let me go.
So it's kind of funny that you bring up checkpoints. I was out with an unnamed party at one time, right? Mm-hmm. We were at a restaurant bar having some food, having some drinks.
Right.
And we, you know, had a good number of drinks. We're on our way home.
What's a good number?
I was drunk.
Okay, that's what I want. I wanted to know what measured in your.
I was drunk. I had maybe 4 to 5 very strong beers.
Okay.
Very strong. I was.
So something like an IPA.
I definitely should not have been behind the wheel, and I was not. I was in the passenger seat.
Good. Good job.
The individual next to me was a taller, you know, larger person. You know, not fat, but bold. Click highlight. Click bold. just, you know, bigger in.
Are we still size 12 or are we bumping up to 14?
Big. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, they do listen to this podcast. I'm just not going to drop any nicknames or real names. Just shout out. You know who you are. We went through this checkpoint.
I don't know who you are, but it's okay.
And they, you know, and you could see the officer kind of counting cars. And, you know, every now and then they got to pull that one car in and give them the extra search. And we're like, oh, fuck, we're that car.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wear that car. Fuck, unlucky as shit right now. All right. So, all right. And they pull us over. They pull us into the parking lot. They pull this individual out of the car, start questioning. And, you know, how you guys doing? And they're, you know, giving her the whole touch your nose, do this, stand on foot, giving her the non...
I know who you are.
The non-breath one and letting it... doing the... I forget what they call it. The sobriety test. Wow, how did I not remember that?
Field sobriety test.
So... One of the officers comes over to me and goes, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm doing great. Now, mind you, I could talk fairly normal, but I'm going to dial it up a little bit because I know they smell beer in here. You're doing good? Yeah, I'm fucking awesome. Where are you guys coming from? Fucking restaurant where we had some beers and food. And just like that, I was at it. And he goes, you had some beers? Oh, yeah, I have a few beers. How many do you have? I don't fucking know, but I should not be driving right now. I am in this passenger seat. How many did she have? I wasn't counting. She ate food with me. I'm like, okay. He looks at me, looks at her, and this person's killing the test. Okay. So you're not driving? Oh, hell no. I'm in this passenger seat, dude. Yeah, it's the officer. All right. Back to the car. Here's all your stuff. Thank you. Have a good night. Go home. Now, had this individual breathed into device?
Breathalyzer?
Probably wouldn't have drove home that night.
Completely different story.
But because they smelled the beer and then I was fucking drunk, plus a little extra I put on it, they were like, yeah, you guys can go home. And holy fucking shit, we got lucky as a motherfucker right there. Plus, I, you know, manifested the luck by faking how drunk I was. Actually, I was really drunk. But that was an interesting, weird night. And, you know, we got away with it. Got lucky.
That's lucky.
Yeah, holy
Unlike
shit.
Unlike my dad, who was super unlucky. He gets pulled over for a DUI, passes the field sobriety test with flying colors.
Nice.
Officer's like, all right, you're good to go. You can get on out of here. My dad gets back in his car, gets ready to start leaving. Another car pulls up. Officer walks up. Actually, wait 1 minute. Another car pulled up with the breathalyzer. We just want you to blow into this real quick. Bam, lost his license.
Oh, he was in the car ready to go.
And he could blow he could blow something that would, like, your normal person would just not even be able to walk straight. And he could walk. You would never even know he was drinking. And he would still blow that. And he could.
Fuck.
Damn.
Yeah. So I was like, fuck, that's pretty unlucky.
That's pretty fucking unlucky.
Talk about your bad luck.
Talk about unlucky.
Fuck, dude.
You know, we spend a good time talking about what luck is, what you make it, but, like, what about, like, unlucky people? Like,
could
you imagine, like, I know, before you jump into this, I know there's one related to this story that I wanted to bring up about the girl who was surfing and lost an arm.
Oh, what's her name? I have her DVD.
But
she
still
surfs,
so that was pretty badass.
Yeah, they call her, fuck, what's her name?
I forgot, but...
I met her.
She's super fucking cool.
Huntington.
Yeah, she's super fucking cool. And
super humble.
Still surfs and shit, which is rad. But
which it's hard to surf with one arm.
Yeah, you'd be paddling in circles.
Well, balance.
That too. Didn't even think about that. But yeah, no, super unlucky to have that fucking happen. Like, yeah.
I was going to say, since I was gonna bring this one person up, so I'm going to bring this bit up.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, well, have you heard of Roy Sullivan? But we will talk about Roy Sullivan after this because there is somebody else who this could segue into. There's a guy named Dillian McWilliams.
Did
I say Dillian?
Dillian, yeah, that's a weird.
Dillian, okay. My bad.
I was about to say if his parents named him Dillian, he's unlucky out the grip.
I was already starting to read the last name and it had the big D in the.
Yeah, I bet he's got a big D.
So people are considering this guy to be the most unlucky guy in the world, but he's more of like the more modern case of unlucky guy in the world. There's another guy that I'll mention that I think is worse, but yeah, basically this guy, it depends on what you think of unlucky. He has survived a rattlesnake bite.
Wow.
He has survived a shark attack. He has been struck by lightning, and he has been punched by a herd of monkeys or a pack of monkeys or a... whatever you want to call them.
Okay, I was going to say lucky for surviving all those first things. You know, the fact that it happened and he walked away. But then you mentioned he got punched by a group of monkeys. And that's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Got jumped by monkeys.
Yeah. And I mean, the rattlesnake bite, most people will survive that if they get to the hospital.
If you do it on time, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it also depends on the rattlesnake.
That too.
Type. That's but anyways, episode. That's a whole nother...
That's a whole nother episode.
So yeah, this guy... it's
went
crazy.
Through a bunch of shit, it sounds like. How do you end up in a situation where you get punched by a bunch of monkeys? Did he jump over the fence at a zoo?
You had to have been pissing those monkeys off.
Did he jump over a fence at the zoo? Did he steal their bananas? Did he mock them? Like, how do you end up getting punched by, at least, how do you end up getting punched by a single monkey, let alone multiple?
Were you just looking at him going like, I evolved and right? You did it. Ha ha ha.
Right? Meanwhile, they're more
allegedly.
Meanwhile, they're more free than we are.
Yeah. No so kidding. Statistically, he's considered the most unlucky man.
Right.
Based off statistics, because you figure like what a shark attack—that's like one in what was it, 30 million or something
that's
like
ridiculous.
That.
Yeah.
To get bit by a shark, and then he's also got bit by a rattlesnake, fucking struck by lightning, which in its own is like
that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, could you like? I've seen lightning strike growing up in Florida. It's fucking terrifying. I couldn't imagine getting
times
hit by it.
Where it's actually hit something. I've seen it more than three times, but I've seen it where it's hit
like
shit.
Hit shit, yeah.
Three times.
I couldn't
times
imagine
here.
Being the thing getting hit. Like,
so you want to talk?
Fuck, what's that like? Does that like give you a bunch of energy out of nowhere all of a sudden? You're ready to go for a fucking jog and like, or does it just fuck you up and you gotta lay down and not do shit for a week?
By the way, in case you were wondering, here's the odds for being struck by lightning.
Yeah.
In a given year, 1 in 500,000.
In 1 year?
In 1 year.
Wow, that's actually lower than I thought it would be.
There's a lot of people that get struck by lightning.
Yeah. So
1 in 500,000?
It's more common than you think.
In Virginia, one person dies from lightning strikes each year. More than that get you know,
holy shit, that happened.
Get struck, but that's where this
still guy, that's a lot. 1 in 500,000, 1 in 500,000.
So think about that. Now this guy Roy Sullivan that I had mentioned,
right?
He has been struck by lightning 7 times.
Jeez, fucking hell. And survived each one.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah. No, he ended up. He's dead. Oh. But
not via lightning though, right?
No, we'll get into that.
Say that seventh one. Get we'll him. Get into number that. 7. All right. Fuck, dude, 7 strikes.
7. So this guy, he worked as a United States Park Ranger in Shenandoah National Park in Virginia between 1942 and 1977.
Okay, that brings some of it.
And he gained the nicknames the Human Lightning Conductor and the Human Lightning Rod.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, what was his name again?
Roy Sullivan. Okay. He's recognized.
I really wish his name was Ron because he could be the Human Lightning Ron.
He's recognized by Guinness Book of World Records as the person struck by lightning more recorded times than any other human being.
That is an insane amount of times struck by lightning.
And that is a fucked up way to get in that book.
Yeah, no kidding.
So where he's from is a town called Doom, Virginia.
Wow.
Perfect.
Fuck so yeah.
Perfect.
His first strike, his first documented strike was in 1942. He was hiding from a thunderstorm in a fire lookout tower. That tower was newly built and had no lightning rod at the time. It was hit 7 or 8 times. Inside the tower, fire was jumping all over the place, Sullivan said. So he ran out and just a few feet away received what he considered to be his worst lightning strike of all. It burned 1/2 inch of a strip on his leg and put a hole in his shoe.
Oof.
And hit his toe. So that one in its own was bad, you know? And then his second one was in 1969. And unusually, he was actually in his truck when he was hit.
Oh, jeez.
Driving on a mountain road. And the metal body of a vehicle normally protects people from lightning strikes by acting as a Faraday cage. The lightning first hit nearby trees, but was deflected, came through his open window.
Jesus.
Of the truck. It knocked him unconscious, burned off his eyebrows and eyelashes, and his hair caught on fire.
So he got hit by a lightning ricochet.
Yeah, shit. Exactly. And the uncontrolled truck kept moving until it stopped nearly at a cliff edge. Like, right.
Jesus.
You wake up, Christ. Your hair's on fire, your truck's like overlooking a cliff. You're like, what the fuck just happened?
And another thing to point out about that. The statistic hell. I gave you was the ones of getting struck by lightning but not dying from it. Here's the one for actually dying from lightning. The odds of dying from getting struck by lightning are 1 in 6,632,653.
I feel like those are kind of skewed too because like a lot of people do survive that, but I think it's circumstantial.
Right, but the survival one, that's the 1 in 500,000. Right. So you can get hit but still survive.
So are the people lucky because they got struck by lightning that they actually hit those odds, and then even luckier that they survived? Or are they unlucky because they got struck by lightning
and then lucky that they survived?
I think it's,
or unlucky that they survived because they didn't hit the major odds.
Yes. Why
would you, I'm just kidding. Why
would you, yes.
Did you also notice there were 3 sixes in that death one and the death odds? They weren't in a row, but
let me look back at them real
quick. It's funny because I followed a truck here over to the studio today. You're with 666 in the license plate.
Not in a row, but
6,632,653. Yes, 3 sixes in there. You're right. Triple sixes.
Just thought I'd point that out.
His third strike was in 1970, so just a year after that truck incident.
And he was officially out of the baseball game?
Yeah. He was struck while in his front yard. The lightning hit a nearby power transformer and from there jumped to his left shoulder, searing it.
Damn, he got hit by 2 lightning ricochets.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, it jumps.
Right, it arcs to the next closest thing. And exactly. He just happened to be the next closest thing.
And I think that's why so many people survive, is because it'll arc from one thing to another instead of a direct hit.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people are necessarily the greatest conductors compared to other things.
Yeah, humans aren't very good conductors.
Figure. We're what, like 90% water?
No, I think it's 70-something.
70-something.
It's some fucking high
enough enough water and salt that we are conductive, just not that good.
It's not like, I'm saying it's if you're standing next to something metal like a pole, it's more likely going to hit that or something higher up and grab that first before it hits you. But most likely, if you're nearby, it could arc and over to you.
Yeah, it's going to choose the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
Yep.
So in spring 1972... Sullivan was working inside a ranger station in the Shinoda Park when he was struck again. Of course, his hair set on fire once more.
Shave your head at that
point. He tried to smother the flames with his right. jacket. He then rushed to the restroom but could not fit under the water tap, so he used a wet towel instead. He had said, although he had never been a fearful man, after the fourth strike, he began to believe that some force was trying to destroy him, and he acquired a fear of death for months.
Yeah.
You think?
Whenever he was caught in a storm driving his truck, he would pull over and lie down on the front seat until the storm passed. He also began to believe that he would somehow attract lightning, even if he stood in a crowd of people and carried a can of water with him in case his hair was set on fire. So this man started carrying water around everywhere because...
just to put his hair out.
Exactly.
Fucking A. I mean, Zeus must really not like this guy.
A year later, he got struck a fifth time.
Oh, jeez.
In 73, while he was out on patrol in the park. He saw a cloud forming, and he quickly drove away.
He's like,
but
fuck
the cloud, he said later, seemed to be following him.
Jesus.
When he finally had thought he had outrun it, he decided it was safe to leave his truck. Soon after, he was struck by a lightning bolt.
That fucking cloud snuck up like, ha, gotcha, bitch! Psych!
Sullivan stated that he actually saw the bolt that hit him. The lightning moved down his left arm and leg and knocked off his shoe. It then crossed over to his right leg just below the knee. Still conscious, Sullivan crawled back to his truck and poured the can of water, which he always kept in there, over his head, which was on fire.
He was prepared this time.
The sixth time was in 76. Injured his ankle. It was reported that he saw a cloud, thought it was following him, tried to run away, but was struck anyway. His hair also caught on fire.
Dude, Mother Nature does not like this guy. He's getting followed by fucking lightning-filled clouds. Mother Nature is pissed at him for some reason.
The seventh one. This one.
The final one, right?
This one's pretty unlucky.
Jesus.
So on Saturday morning, June 25th, 1977, Sullivan was struck while fishing in a freshwater pool. The lightning hit the top of his head, set his hair on fire, of course, traveled down and burnt his chest and stomach. Sullivan turned to his car when something unexpected occurred. A bear approached the pond and tried to steal trout from his fishing line.
Jesus.
Yes.
Sullivan had the strength and courage to strike the bear with a tree branch. He claimed that this was the 22nd time he had hit a bear with a stick in his lifetime.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Here's the real
kicker.
This guy
might be unlucky.
His wife also had been struck by lightning at one point.
Fuck.
Was that before they were married, or like were they married and lightning was like, I can't hit him, I'm gonna hit his wife?
No, his wife was struck once when a storm suddenly arrived and she was out hanging clothes in their backyard, and her husband was helping her at the time, but oddly enough, escaped. So that bolt was probably for him.
That was going for him, but whoever threw it missed.
Yep.
By the second or third strike, I'd be like, we're getting a divorce.
Right? I'm out, dude. Wow, holy shit.
I love
shit.
You, but I gotta do me.
It's not you, it's me.
No, it's definitely you. Not even gonna lie, it's you.
That's an instance of fuck,
you
it's definitely you.
Motherfucker, you.
Yeah.
So,
I struck by lightning and then had to fight a bear. Let's unpack that for a minute. Like, you get hit, fuck, I'm out of here. It's the seventh time I've been struck by lightning in my life. I'm gonna walk to my car, and now there's a fucking bear stealing all your fish. Like, fuck, dude.
Oh, man.
I don't know what I would do at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would continue. I'd be like, you know what? I'm done. I'm checking out.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the short route. I'm going to take the fast route off of building.
Well, that's kind of how he ended up dying.
Oh, shit. God
was
damn it.
Took his life?
And, yeah, September 28th, 1983, Sullivan died at the age of 71 from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head.
Damn.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know if he just couldn't, like, that's a lot of anxiety and stress, and I feel like there's some complications from being struck by lightning that many
times,
I'm sure.
Now, in a situation like that, would it be considered good luck or bad luck if the gun just didn't go off?
Could you imagine?
Like, the fucking...
Or it went off.
Malfunctioned
or
something.
And it, like, messed him up.
And just didn't.
But he's still coherent enough to know.
He's alive.
And he's now living in even a worse position where...
Where he just, like, yeah...
That would be pretty unlucky.
I'm not, like, you know, that's a tricky subject. You know, I'm all for euthanasia and all that, but that's, again, a whole nother episode. So I understand his decision.
Yeah.
Don't 100% condone it, but, I mean, if I got struck seven times by lightning, I don't know where
and
my
attacked
mindset,
by bears.
And attacked by bears, I don't know where my mindset would be. So
it's not even bear. It's
bears.
Bears.
Like, multiple
plural.
Times.
Plural.
Multiple times. yeah, I don't blame him at all.
Yeah.
Like, holy fuck. This guy was just in
the wrong place at the wrong time.
Like, okay. I don't know what...
Well, there's a lot of storms there. So, I mean, the area he's in, it's more likely to happen than a lot of other areas. And he worked at a ranger station during lookout. Like, fire. When you're at a fire watch tower and there's storms, you're looking to see if there's any forest fires that sparked from lightning. So you're putting yourself into the storm.
My question is, though, is, like, what did he or his ancestors do in the past where it, you know...
Carried over karmically?
It fucking... It warranted this. Like his ancestors fucking pissed someone off and were like, and they were like, you know what? We're going to wait.
They prayed to the wrong gods or something.
We're
going to
wait 27 generations, not 27 years, 27 generations, and we're going to get your people. 27 generations comes up and they're like, fucking this guy is paying for your sins.
They didn't they didn't carry Madame Zeroni.
I mean, think about it. Right? But think about it, though. Madame what was it? Zeroni. What was it? Seven strikes? Seven strikes, right?
That's a lucky number, seven.
Seven strikes plus however many bears.
20-something.
20-something bears, right? He's paying for some ancestor's sins. Like, dude, some ancestor pissed off a witch, and the witch was like, your children get seven strikes from the gods of lightning in this
right. Zeus wasn't happy. Nah, and, dude. I mean, I tell you, I've had several bear encounters in my life, but I've never had to hit one with a stick. I've been really close like that, but...
I don't know if I could hit one with a stick. I'd probably puss out and fucking run and then get eaten because I ran.
Well, you could take our advice from one of the previous episodes this season where you just hug the bear. They can't reach and attack you that way. But I don't know how you're going to get away.
Yeah, I don't know if I would do that either. Terrifying.
I don't know why, but he mentioned bear encounters and my mind just went, West Hollywood?
Oh, no.
Not that kind of bear.
No. West Hollywood nightclub?
Not that kind of bear.
No. No.
Nope.
There's another guy, though, that I think is even more unlucky.
Oh, really? Then seven lightning?
Statistically, no.
Okay.
But the things and how they happened, like, ooh. What the fuck?
Okay.
So this guy named Frane Salak, he is a Croatian man that was born in 1929. He's known for his luck and is often addressed as the world's most unluckiest, or the world's most unlucky, luckiest man. So I like this case because he's both very lucky and both very unlucky, depending on how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But he had quite a few brushes with death. In 1962, he had near-death experiences. Well, no. His near-death experiences began in 1962 when he was riding a train through a cold, rainy canyon, and the train flew off the tracks and crashed into a river. An unknown person pulled him to safety while 17 other passengers drowned. He suffered a broken arm and hypothermia. The next year, during his first and only plane ride, he was blown out of a malfunctioning plane door and landed in a haystack. The plane crashed, killing 19 people. So that's lucky because he was the one person that flew out and the one person that survived because he got sucked out. But he's also unlucky because he was in a plane crash.
Fucking plane crash.
So,
what goes through your mind when you're just chilling on a plane and all of a sudden you're falling through the air and you land in hay? What's the first thing you think?
Oh, fuck, man.
Because I think...
I hope there's not a needle in here.
Right. No, I think my first thought is, oh, fuck, man. And what the fuck? And then, shit.
Well, there was a guy who was a regular parachuter, and I was going to say paratrooper, but no, he's a parachuter. He was a trainer. He was a trainer and stuff.
Right, right.
And he jumped sometimes up to 20-something times a day. And he was a photographer and videographer. And he would film... these jumps. So sometimes he'd go down and you'd have the person strapped to, you know, the trainer strapped to the other person skydiving, and he'd film the experience as they're falling. Well, there was one case because he's worried about his own parachute. He's got to pack his own chute and deal with all his own stuff, right? So there's this time where these two people jumped out and he went down to film them. So he followed shortly after. You know, they're going down, he's filming it, everything's good. The other people pull their chute. Pull the rip cord. He goes to pull his. Oh shit. I forgot my parachute.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah. Because it's so second nature. He's just doing it all the time. It's natural. Maybe he just slipped his mind. I don't know. I'm trying to make excuses.
How do you forget the one thing that you're doing? It's called parachuting.
Right? Right? It's in the fucking name. Parachute.
That was the last thing he ever filmed was that.
Obviously.
But
clearly,
unless he Peggy Hilled, but
Peggy Hilled.
Yeah, you know when she went
skydiving?
That's
such an obscure reference,
yeah,
though.
Was like, yeah. Like four people got that joke.
Maybe.
Well, anybody who's watched King
of
the Hill
are here.
And has seen Peggy fall from her skydiving and didn't die because right. you hit terminal velocity, it's right. possible.
If you have to explain the joke, it's not good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm explaining for those who don't
right.
know or watch King of the Hill. For the uncultured swine that listen to this
fucking,
podcast.
If you listen to this podcast and you don't watch King of the Hill, what the fuck are you listening to this podcast for?
That boy ain't right.
Yeah.
That boy ain't right.
That bro.
Bobby, I've got propane in my urethra.
That's my purse.
I don't know you. So this guy, 3 years after that plane crash in 1966, a bus that he was riding skidded off the road into a river, drowning four passengers. He swam to shore with a few cuts and bruises.
Good Lord.
4 years later, his car caught fire while he was driving, and he managed to escape before the fuel tank blew up. 3 years later, in another driving incident, the engine of his car was doused with hot oil from a malfunctioning fuel pump, which they don't know how mechanics work.
Yeah, that's
either way, something leaked and caught on fire.
Probably
was the point.
Hot fuel from a fuel pump?
Oil or gas, something.
Right, yeah.
And it caused flames to shoot through his air vents into the cabin.
What? Talk about turning the heater on.
Yeah. And his hair was completely singed from this incident, but he was otherwise unharmed.
Jesus.
And then way later in 1995, he was struck by a bus in Zagreb, but sustained only minor injuries. In 1996, he eluded a head-on collision with United Nations truck on a mountain curve by swerving into a guardrail,
that's
which gave him
that thing
way under the force, or which gave way under the force. I cannot talk.
Which gave him the force.
2 days after his
73rd
birthday.
Well,
fuck,
I want to do that too then.
Right?
Shit.
This is where the luck comes in. Two days after his 73rd birthday, he won. What is that? $900,000 dollars, which in the U.S. equivalent is $1,110,000, or 702 euros, almost 703.
Shit ton of money, basically.
In the lottery.
Right.
At the time of his win, he also married for the fifth time when he purchased two houses and a boat with his winnings. In 2010, being generous, he decided to give most of his remaining money away to relatives and friends after
right
deciding to live a frugal lifestyle.
Right on.
So that's the world's most unlucky, luckiest man.
Yeah, wow. Like,
talk about being unlucky.
Frain Salak.
I not going to lie, I half expected that story to end with, and his wife left him and took his money.
Jeez.
But thank God it didn't. That was, wow, like...
What a twist,
a lot of,
right?
A lot of storytelling and reading in that
dude.
One.
Oh, man.
Dude.
That would have been funny, though.
Right?
See, but that just goes to show you, like, I don't know if you can call that...
That is
are those instances of just being in the wrong place at the wrong time, or...
I mean,
these people
the
truly
wrong,
cursed.
Sounds like the wrong vehicle. I would not even be in a moving vehicle after that.
Yeah, I'm walking
fuck
everywhere
cars,
at that
fuck
point.
Planes, fuck...
Yeah,
walking everywhere.
These people just
I don't
truly
need to go,
cursed.
I don't need to fly anywhere. That's
maybe he'll try a boat next time.
Right? He hasn't wrecked a boat yet. Yeah, that's, you know.
But that falls into the realm of superstitions.
Yeah, like, are these people cursed? Do these people have something going on with them where they're attracting this sort of thing? You know? And can you attract this sort of thing? Obviously, we kind of talked about you can. You're manifesting your own luck, and if you believe yourself to be unlucky,
well, it's just like people believing in
superstitions. Ooh. Like the number 13, or don't walk under ladders.
Foreshadow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes. We're going to do an episode on superstitions.
Thank you so much for being a foreshadow. Now we're just straight up telling people.
Well, that's next season, though.
I was trying to.
So if you guys want to listen to that episode, make sure you guys check us out next season.
We're trying to keep listeners and hype them up.
Hype!
Right, but yeah, no, like I don't know, man. Once you get into the third or fourth car wreck, or you know, you get struck by the fifth strike of lightning, like
at some point you gotta be like, you're
that's not unlucky. You're cursed at that point.
Well, that's why I tell everybody. I was like, I was in one good car accident where I was riding as a passenger, and that shit was gnarly.
And one good car accident.
And I'm over here like,
poor choice of words here.
Right? I'm over here like, I've already been in my lifetime's worth of car crash. And I'm after reading these things and finding out about these guys, I'm like, oh shit, you know, maybe.
That was bad.
Is there such a thing as a good car accident?
No, there's not. He just decided to describe it that way.
Yeah. horrific. I would have said horrific.
Shitty car accident.
Shitty.
I mean, it wasn't horrific until I got in the ambulance and saw what happened to the girl in the other car next to me in the ambulance.
Okay,
with
well,
half her face hanging
oh,
off.
I was going to say we don't have to talk about that, all right.
But,
right yeah. on, we went and talked about it.
And, you know it's Matt we're talking about here.
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He's quite literal.
Once yeah. I have something in my mind and it's already starting to be spoke, it has to be finished.
It's coming out.
Yeah.
Which is oddly weird because I'm terrible at finishing projects I start, but sentences.
He finishes all of them.
Yeah.
Except for that last one.
What? I finish all my... That would be a good way to end the episode.
That
would
have been awesome, but we're gonna give you guys
jokes
a little,
on you guys.
We're gonna give you guys a little more bonus content because we fucked up last week. We sorry, did. I whispered again. My bad. I realized I got to stop doing that. But it's funny.
It's okay, buddy. Next season, you got it. You got it.
I'll be better next season.
Yeah,
you got this.
That's what he said last season.
Right, and then I'm still doing it. Before. I say it every season, and I still do it because you know I have a brand. I can't fucking break it. You mentioned parachuting and the fucking guy who jumped out without it. On accident. Did you guys see the guy who did it on purpose?
Say what now?
The guy who parachuted without a parachute
on purpose? Who purposely does this?
A fucking crazy-ass daredevil, first of all.
Is that a daredevil or a death wish?
He, so he, like, that's it. He just jumped out without a parachute. Obviously into a big-ass fucking net that he could, like, you know, aim
right,
for.
Right, there you go. There you go.
Left that key part out.
Well, yeah, because it sounds cooler if you say, hey, he parachuted without a parachute. Or what sounds cooler? Hey, a guy parachuted without a parachute? Or, hey, a guy jumped into a net.
This Thursday on Fox.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, no, this guy fucking jumped out.
And Daredevil
parachuted
jumps
with,
out of an airplane.
Parachuted
no
with,
parachute.
like, three people, you know, obviously with parachutes who
into a net.
Made sure he was good. And then past a certain point, fucking on his own. And aimed for this fucking net. Felix was the guy who parachuted from the stratosphere.
Oh yeah, that guy.
But I forget the guy
that was gnarly.
That was gnarly. In a space like
you have to be.
Yeah, he was in a space suit.
The temperatures
in a balloon
and
that went
the lack
up.
Of oxygen.
Lewis is looking at us like he doesn't know where. Yeah, Felix.
You didn't see that?
No,
Felix
but I mean I've been to the stratosphere.
No, no,
no.
You
like,
haven't.
Like he's looking
Felix,
down and he could see the shape of Earth
like,
from where he's parachuting.
Felix Bonograph or something with a B, was
oh,
in a helium
stratosphere hotel.
No,
oh
no,
my
no.
God.
He was in a
the
like,
real stratosphere.
He was in like a helium or like a I forget the gas, but in a balloon because that's the only thing I could take him that high without costing $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
He's in this little capsule in a balloon, goes all the way up, and he's in like a like imagine like a light version of a spacesuit, not mm-hmm. as crazy, and he's just fucking comes out, and the video of him jumping off is hilarious because he just kind of like. Walks, like waddles, because he's in the spacesuit, can't fully walk the, whole, you know, like
yeah.
like you would, and just kind of leans forward and falls off.
Nice.
And just goes.
It's a supersonic free fall. His name's Felix Baumgartner.
Baumgartner.
Mm.
Great name for fucking jumping from the stratosphere.
Yeah. So I mean,
and fucking just all the way down, and then parachuted eventually.
I'll link that video in the show notes for you guys.
World's longest free fall, I think. Wow,
for
yeah.
sure. Do that.
It was fucking gnarly. It was so fucking cool looking. And
well, don't show it to us
it's
now.
It's a straight up like space capsule with a blimp, with a blimp on it, and he just goes up. And I forget
that.
How
the
long.
Yeah.
What is
that?
How long
I think that's a weather
him.
Balloon, right? Is that what that
yeah.
is?
Yep.
I forget how long it took him to go up, but
it's held with the weather balloon.
Got all the way
balloon.
Up to the fucking stratosphere. And then fucking jumped out. Like,
that's fucking insane.
Could you imagine
Red Bull
fucking,
pushing
yeah,
the
Red
limits?
Red Bull fucking sponsored it because Red Bull sponsors crazy shit. And then he fucking did
look
it.
Look at that. You could see the fucking curvature of the flat
he
Earth.
He was in straight. You can see the disc. See how he just jumps out and just kind of, whoop.
Flat earthers would be like, oh, it's just the concave of the lens.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
the lens.
Right, right.
Or they faked it. They, you know, it's like the moon landing.
It ain't real. It ain't real. No, Earth is still
yeah,
flat.
Yeah, it's crazy because like he starts spinning at a certain point, and it's like uncontrolled. And if he keeps it going, it could have killed him because it would have like pulled him in half.
Yikes!
Yeah, that's how fast he can get to spinning, but he was able to control it.
That's a good
wild
video. Make sure you guys
shit.
Check it out.
It's, yeah,
it'll be in the show notes.
If you haven't seen it, check it out. Fucking wild
that's
shit.
Gnarly.
Any plans for the break we're about to take? You guys have any plans? Or
I know Crazy Liquor's doing another event.
Oh, Crazy Liquor here in
or Crazy Smoke, I mean.
Oh, Crazy Smoke.
I get them confused. Same ownership. Yeah, they're doing a Father's Day event. It's the whole weekend, so They're doing deals. I think buy one, get one free of Puff Bars, or buy two, get one free or something.
And post a link in the show notes.
Yeah. Something like that. But they're doing it for the break. No, just working on more business stuff and things like that. Yeah. And then just the regular shit I'm doing for the most part. I don't know about you guys.
I got, you know, shows, show prep, prepping for an October show this early because it's going to take a minute. And then a show tomorrow. But that's
like your biggest show of the year, huh?
It is. It is. Yeah. And then, just, you know, magic stuff. Relax.
Just take it easy. Take it easy. Plan for the next season.
Yeah, yeah. Prep for the next season, obviously. Write down ideas, you know, talk to you guys.
Yeah.
And part of that planning involves hearing back from you guys, for sure. Yes. We want to hear back from you guys. What do you guys want to hear us talk about in the next season?
What sucked about our show? What's awesome about our show? Let us know so we can
give
fix
us some
that.
Feedback. You know, otherwise we're gonna assume we're doing a great job when clearly
we are.
Don't even like
we
it.
We are. We are. We're fucking killing it.
I think
it right
one
now.
Of our co-hosts' birthday is coming up too, so you guys can donate money for his birthday, and then all of us three can split his birthday money three ways amongst ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. You can go to
you guys are assholes.
You can go to our anchor and click donate to this podcast, and you can add a note that says this is for Lewis's birthday, and we will make sure that he does not get it.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. Appreciate
it. Yeah, we'll use it for money for us to buy him gifts.
Exactly. Mm. And then make him think that it was just from us.
You guys are awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that.
We're just trying to think of you.
For those of you listening, it's June 21st. So,
I wasn't going to do that. But so make sure you guys donate on June 21st.
Yeah. Or prior to that, you know. It might take a couple days to process.
And then make sure you add it's for Lewis's birthday.
Yeah. Leave that in the notes.
We'll get him a nice gift from you guys.
You guys are awesome.
Someone's going to be like, oh, this one's for the donkey show. Here's $400.
Yo, tell us if you donate, make sure you put in the show notes it's for Lewis's birthday and what you want us to get with it.
Oh, geez.
And we will get it regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
And we'll film it if it's something good enough. Like, you get him some Chippendale dancers.
Oh, we'll definitely film that.
Where the fuck are you going to find Chippendale dancers nowadays?
I don't know.
Chippendale store?
I was just talking to my roommate the other day. She's like, it's hard to find freaking... like really fit men for a photo shoot. Like she had a photo shoot idea and I was like, really? I was like, huh. So yeah, maybe that'll be hard to find, but if you guys can find them and you're willing to shell out the cash for a knockoff, you know, Wish version of Channing Tatum for Lewis, then by all means.
Channing Tatum?
Right? I mean, we might not be able to get Chippendale, but we can get like Crisp and Dick.
God. Oh man.
Oh,
that's
man.
Terrible.
I'm trying to think of a name, but it's not working.
Yeah, I didn't intend to use Dick, but...
It's Dick and Dale, not Chip and Dale.
Nah, it's Crisps and Daryl.
The Florida version. The fucking Alabama version we got.
Yeah, he's going to show up in a flannel one tooth.
Brett, should we tell him about our little project, or...
Maybe, yeah.
Let him figure that one out on their own.
I think we should tell him about it.
Yeah, you should
tell him. All right, if you guys are enjoying this podcast, then we know you guys are. Be honest with us. You are.
Like
we
this.
Know you are.
And if you want
ready
hear,
for cross promotion.
And if you want to hear Lewis and I continue to talk about like weird stuff, cool things, funny stuff, as well as drink more.
Definitely drink more.
That's the whole reason we started that other podcast was to test out beers.
Mm-hmm. Test out beers and hear us just fucking be jackasses.
Like
that.
Where I accidentally punched the mic trying to itch my face.
Fucking ass jack.
Check out. Are we going to do it again? No. Okay.
Do it. Let's do it. Check out our podcast. But first, we drink.
That was fucking...
Sounds like you guys were already drinking.
It was good enough.
I am.
Yeah. We'll post a link to that in the show notes as well.
And if we don't, we will.
And if we don't, it's called But First We Drink.
Yeah.
Come on.
Not with the number. I want to clarify this. It's BUTFIRST. We drink. You can spell the rest of that.
So it's
B-U-T-T. Not the number.
It's but. No, not but. It'll redirect redirect somewhere
else. Number.
You'll see it in the show notes. It'll say, but first we drink the Real Matt's Not Here podcast because I'm not on that show. So
occasionally he will be sipping on water.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see.
If we have a water episode.
We try Liquid Death again.
Oh. We could
do like.
Icelandic
do like a,
water, all these
do like
different...
a water like testing episode.
No,
like
I wouldn't say a whole episode, but whenever I come on, I could just try it. If I do come on, try
come
a new
on,
water,
different
while
water
you
each time.
A beer.
It definitely
like
won't
idea.
Be an hour long episode. Then.
No. These shows are they'll be like 30 minutes, and we just shoot the shit, talk about fun stories we read, and enjoy some nice brews.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got. So until next season, this is Lewis.
This is Brett.
This is Matt.
And we are
Matt's Not Here.
You almost hit the wrong button.
Yeah. I almost hit the wrong button, but well, I didn't. You know what? Because I'm a fucking professional.
Yeah.
You know what? Because I've been doing this for four fucking seasons.
Four
fucking seasons. Can you believe that? That's shit?
Amazing. It took us four seasons to completely screw up an episode where none of us were here.
It took us four seasons to fuck up.
Look, practice and makes they perfect, stuck okay? Practice
and they makes stuck perfect. Around. Our listeners didn't go anywhere.
No. Yeah,
no, they're still there.
Well, I mean, they can't really go anywhere. We locked them up. But.
Yeah, for sure.
Damn. Well, you know, I just want you guys to know that we didn't give you guys that episode on purpose.
You mother...